Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host.
If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss home functionality and aesthetics, along with the topic of slow decorating. I saw an article in House Beautiful recently, and I thought it would be the perfect topic for the next episode. So here we are. It reads, quote, "So many of us, whether we're living in sprawling homes or tiny studios in crowded cities, experience that burning eagerness to just get the decorating process over with as soon as possible so that we can live life and enjoy our spaces. But there's a growing push to do just the opposite. Slow decorating. What is slow decorating, though? It doesn't simply refer to the speed at which you decorate, but rather the process of choosing pieces with purpose and intention that you'll ideally love now and in a decade's time." End quote. What's so interesting to me is this is something I've talked about since 2019 on this podcast. I mention how impulse purchases can be wasteful and end up in a landfill or at the Goodwill next to everyone else's impulse purchases. Slowing down and enjoying the process means that you can think through your choices and imagine things in their places already before you source and buy them. The article later says, quote, "Taking your time gives you the opportunity to budget, thinking about what you'd like to splurge on and what you'd like to approach with a bit more frugality. And finally, slow decorating affords you the opportunity to figure out what your style is and consider how it may evolve over time, allowing you to choose pieces that really resonate with you." End quote. First, the article suggests that you accept that you'll never truly be done, and I absolutely agree. Things wear out, or someone passes away and you inherit some fabulous item that you want to showcase in your home so you make room for it. This should be an ongoing, enjoyable process as your sense of style evolves. Also, thinking that you are done at some point suggests the usage will never change, and we all know the functionality has to change as we go through different seasons of our lives. When our children are young, our priorities are different than when they're tweens or teens or off at college or we're taking care of our parents. Start by assessing what you have and what you love while using episodes of this podcast to think about what you envision for the different rooms in your home. The things with the most character often come from a secondhand shop, an antique store, or from your grandma's attic. You can also think about adding to it if what you have isn't the right scale. Perhaps it's too small. Let's say, for example, you may have a rug that you love from your last home, but it's too small. Instead of getting rid of it, bring in a rug to layer underneath it, making the area covered just the right size. Next, the article recommends that we shop with intention. This reminds me of a client I've been working with for the past year. She has a collection of art, photographs, and prints that she loves, none of which she knew what to do with. So they sat piled against the wall in the den until I made a suggestion of where they could go. We had a guest room wall in which a segment of the wall was set in. And I told her this would make a great gallery space in which we use the entire inset, left to right and top to bottom. She found something she wanted to hang, which is a scroll on a string, and I suggested this is the ideal time to go shopping. This is what you need: a knob, a hook, an interesting metal object that can be mounted to the wall in which this beauty can hang from and be part of the attraction. This is shopping with intention. This means not buying things on a whim, but instead looking for an object that can serve a specific use. And this doesn't have to be quick. It can be something you just keep in mind, so when you're out in the world, maybe you come across it. For first-time homeowners, explore what's out there before you buy things and take note of what captures your attention so you can make purposeful choices. Use social media platforms and design books to figure out what resonates the most so you can develop your own sense of aesthetic and also figure out what makes the most sense in that space. What is fascinating to me is this article recommends that we start with the walls because Charleston, South Carolina-based painter and textile artist Rebecca Atwood says that a well-loved home is a layered home, so avoiding stark white walls is key. Although I agree, I think most people are intimidated by this because most of my consults are people who have no idea how to fill their walls. And I welcome this job with open arms. Let's talk about what you have, what its scale is, and what color palette we're sitting in. And now for two questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. Leave some space under each one to write because I'm going to add to them. Which one of these two questions would you put first in your priorities when thinking about just one room at a time? So I want you to think about maybe the room that you're having the most difficulty with, or maybe it's the room that it's the most empty. Here is question number one. Am I trying to create a mood? Leave some space. Question number two, am I trying to create a functional space? I would like to suggest that one of these needs to take the lead and the other can follow the leader. I always like to frame things in my mind in a way that sits well so we can slowly digest it and work the design puzzle out. Now let's think more on those. I'm going to use my primary bathroom as an example. If this is my room I'm focusing on, I would say I'm first trying to create a mood, and secondarily, I'm needing it to be functional because of what's in there already. The mood is the driver. It's already got a tub, a toilet, a dual sink, but now the mood, I need it to be quiet. and relaxing. So the paint for me needs to be sitting in the background, which tells me I'm taking the cue from the countertop. I'm scanning the countertop and helping to blend it right into the wall. I have chunky wood open shelves above the end of the tub, and that's where my rolled white towels, bath bombs, and plants that enjoy humidity can live. And dimmers to bring the light low, with the towels within easy reach of the tub, the mood is the primary focus here. What have I left for slow decorating? This inset at the end of my tub sat oddly open and empty for 7 years before I found just the right person who felt comfortable drilling through my tile to mount shelves, and before I could find the craftsman to build the custom shelves I had marinating in my mind to begin with. And then at Target, I came across this little stool that looked like a real wood stump, and it fit so perfectly in between my glass shower door and the bath mat. This is where a towel can sit for the shower, or a bottle of wine can sit for the bathtub. These items took time, and this space is a delight because of it. Let's instead now shift to a functional space being the dominant driver. Spaces that need to have functionality first might be your heaviest use areas, the kitchens or mudrooms. Slow decorating here might mean waiting for just the right wallpaper for your main wall. But by all means, get the space into a good enough shape so you don't go crazy trying to make meals for yourself day in and day out. The design I envisioned for my kitchen was bold and the scale was large, so the shelving needed to be delicate and almost see-through so as to not make horizontal lines of sorts through the center of the wallpaper design. The shelving, though, I also wanted to lead with functionality. So I asked myself, what do I have the largest collection of food stuff that I use often? And then I thought about how could I display it artfully? My answer was vinegar. I have a big collection of vinegars because I cook with it often. And so my slow decorating was finding vintage bottles in which I could display my vinegars in on this almost invisible shelf in front of this big, bold wallpaper. It was all a slow decorating dream until it was a reality. Beginning to end of marination time, including sourcing and execution, was probably almost 3 years. Oh, what fun it was! Even the vintage metal labels I happened upon at my client's home, who told me she'd always kept them because they seemed useful, but never knew what to do with them. So I could probably put them in the donate pile. And I told her if it was okay with her, they may become my vinegar labels. I can't tell you how much fun that slow decorating project was because it absolutely evolved over time. The next thing this article recommends, and I would love to read this verbatim because they do such a wonderful job being clear and concise, and I'm not sure I could say it any better. Quote, buy only what makes you happy. If you're spending money, no matter how much, it should be on something that, to quote Marie Kondo, sparks joy, buying something you feel ambivalent about simply because it pairs well with your sofa or walls is never a good idea. In fact, you may even come to resent it. The article later goes on to say, quote, "When a client takes the time to search for a great work of art that both complements the space and makes them feel good, the result is a home that looks effortlessly put together and comes alive, as opposed to appearing contrived. Plus, buying things that bring you joy will give you an undeniable sense of comfort and satisfaction every time you look at it, sit on, or walk across it." End quote. I think that being willing to wait is paramount, and I know that's hard in our immediate gratification society. The rare, one-of-a-kind piece that captures your attention in a way nothing else has before is one-of-a-kind. That's why you can't find them with a quick Google search and click buy now. We want the opposite of live, laugh, love, which takes time to find. And if you think of it as an adventure and leaving something for your future self to shop for and relish in when you come across a street upcycle fair or a vintage shop in a new city, well, you've just done yourself a favor. There is absolutely something to be said for living within a space, feeling the energy and understanding how the light at different times of the year read in each room before making any decisions on what to buy. Now, if you feel like I was just speaking a foreign language, that's okay. That's why I can help. Sometimes my clients can get 90% of the way there and just need help tying it all together. They found a sofa they love, a credenza they inherited, and are crazy about the muddy green Afghan blanket with a mid-century modern pattern carefully crafted into it. But then what? I can help with a simple meeting, and we can tie some things together so it looks like everything was planned that way. I can even suggest items that you can look for. Read into that, take your time looking for, and enjoy the journey of slow decorating. When I create a vision board with you that you can fold up and stick in your handbag or keep digitally on your phone, you can whip it out when you're in the salvage shop to see if this thing fits into the specs you're looking for or to fill that spot. I also love letting ideas marinate because some things come to me in time. A rushed decision will just not be as strong or as sentimental to you as one that was well thought out. And while slow can easily refer to the speed of decorating, it also alludes to the greater intention and purpose behind acquiring pieces for your home. It recognizes that our style and spaces evolve over time, so it encourages us to invest in pieces we'll want to keep and continue to use. Also, lying there next to this idea is the concept that we need to stay put for a minute. Selling and buying and selling and buying makes slow decorating really challenging because what works in this space may not work in the next. So if you're younger and you expect to move many times in the coming years, slow decorating may involve finding pieces that can grow, like a table that expands and contracts, tapestries that can be rolled up instead of framed art, and tables that can be paired together in larger spaces or used separately in smaller ones. Now remember earlier when I said to leave space underneath the questions that you wrote down? I want you to do a little brainstorming session with me. Let's think about the room and then what kind of mood do you want to evoke? I'm going to read a bunch and you're going to write down just the ones that resonate with you for the particular room and space that you have in mind. Here we go. Accomplished, affirming, ambitious, animated, authentic, awake, blissful, bold, brash, bright, bubbly, calm, carefree, charming, cheerful, chill, comfortable, contemplative, contented, creative, demure, dreamy, easygoing, energetic, enlightened, exhilarated, fearless, festive, flamboyant, flirty, friendly, focused, happy, harmonious, hopeful, hospitable, imaginative, inclusive, inspired, introspective, invigorated, joyful, liberating, light-hearted, lively, meditative, nostalgic, peaceful, playful, positive, powerful, quiet, radiant, reflective, relaxed, reserved, romantic, satisfied, sentimental, serene, sleepy, sunny, tender, tranquil, vibrant, warm, welcoming, whimsical, and zen. Next, under the functional space portion, I want you to write the things that are absolutely paramount to happen more easily in the space that you're thinking of. So primary things, like if it's kitchen, things need to be able to be cooked with ease, cleanup needs to happen well, stuff has to make sense where it is. You're thinking big picture here. Now, with these specifics in mind, whether you're going to lead with your mood or you're going to lead with the functionality, you can literally walk into that space with what you've written down and give yourself some more direction while standing in it, looking at it, letting it marinate a bit. Create a direction for yourself on a small piece of paper that you can take with you so that when you're out and about in the world and you may come across things that could work in that space, you can reflect it off this sheet. Does it make sense? Your measurements, if there are any, should be on this same sheet. Does it reflect the mood that I listed for this space on this sheet? That way you can be really spontaneous with your purchases, but it may take you 2 years for that spontaneity to happen. Lastly, when you refine this sheet of paper, make sure it ends up in a space that's going to be with you on your person. So when you're out in the world, you have it. Notice your self-talk. Keep it positive. I'm thankful for time with whom. I tried, and maybe I failed at something, but at least I tried, and I learned something. Maybe what I learned is that I'll do it differently next time. That's still a win. What word comes to mind when you hear the words home office? From personal experience, this is the space that gives me the most grief personally. It is the hardest working space in the house because everything I need to deal with in the future lands on my desk. From the location of your office to your door, the paint color, the technology, the desk, the layout, and the lighting, let's deep dive into the subject of making your home office the best it can be. If you're looking for home office inspiration, have a listen to episode 29. I was walking in a new town, in a new neighborhood recently, and came across a home that had removed the front lawn and replaced it with plantings and some river rock. It was stunning. I created a video of it just to share with you in my weekly newsletter called Little Bits of Home Functionality. It comes just once a week and is intentionally short, but it's a place I can share videos with you and bits of inspiration I find out in the world. Subscribe with the link in the show notes. If you happen to know someone in the market to sell their home in the greater Metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. I include complimentary light staging with every listing. Thanks in advance for the confidence of your referral. When you buy a home with a realtor who is also a home functionality coach, you get the added value of an expert to think through how the space can be used to its best and highest potential, specific to the needs, passions, and values of your family. If you're thinking of buying, connect with me by getting on my calendar. You'll find the link in the show notes. If you're enjoying this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show so new episodes are automatically queued for you. It's one less thing you need to remember. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. Would you mind popping over and giving this episode a lightning fast review? I'll meet you back here for the next episode.